Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's go to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. That's where we find Richard Deitch, who's the outstanding media reporter for The Athletic. You can check out not only his work at The Athletic, but also his weekly sports media podcast. Richard, it's great to have you on the show. I was thinking about you last night as I was watching the finals, and I wanted to have you on because I've kind of thought throughout the finals that the halftime show, the pregame show, like, they're unwatchable, they're awful, I just don't enjoy them. It's becoming more shouty show, middle of the day, Stephen A. Smithy to me. And I thought I was kind of maybe in the minority, but I saw more and more of the complaining online. And I wanted to get your take of how we got here. Is this the idea from ESPN that they spend $20 million on Stephen A. Smith, so he's got to be on everything? And then if he's on the show, it just takes on that kind of, type of broadcast, or is that what they prefer? Like, how did we get here, and what do you make of the blowback they got for their coverage of the finals?
Well, first of all, great to be on with you guys. First, I think the blowback and feedback is very fair and, quite frankly, accurate from those who are close watchers of the NBA. And the good news for NBA fans, you're going to get a lot of choices next year with NBC and Amazon coming to to regular season game broadcasts. So if ESPN executives are not familiar with how it might be done differently, they're going to get to see that firsthand. I would say, so it's a couple things, like, very, very big picture, and this is no sort of genius synopsis from me. ESPN has made a decision over the last couple of years that they're going to invest in some very, very big names. They're going to pay those people an inordinate amount of money. They're going to give those people an inordinate amount of freedom. And they're going to sort of run their personality-driven shows around that. Stephen A. Smith is essentially at the top of the list. Pat McAfee is obviously there. Scott Van Pelt is there. Mike Greenberg's there. And then on the talent side, obviously, they pay Joe Buck and Troy Aikman a lot of money because they call their most important property. So, you know, their thesis is that they would like to get Stephen A. Smith in as many places as possible because, one, he certainly works hard and he's available. And two, they think what he has to say creates dialogue, creates virality. Business-wise, it's not necessarily the worst premise, but what I find, and I think is absolutely accurate from seeing the same response, you know, on social media, is that too often the broadcast becomes about Stephen A. Smith. The broadcast becomes too often about what an ESPN personality has to say as opposed to the broadcast itself. And when you watch that halftime show in particular, because there's not a lot of time and they have a lot of commercial obligations, it really becomes pronounced. You know, it's like 30 to 40 seconds of Stephen A. Smith, and sometimes Bob Myers does this as well. Sort of, it's all about like what their opinion is. And that's sort of where the thesis of the show exists. And, you know, you can get away with that for a little bit, but at a certain point, it especially because a lot of the commentary becomes very negative. It's not like, oh man, look how awesome the Pacers are. It's man, the Thunder have absolutely not taken advantage of the fact that Tyrese Haliburton's gone. So sort of two ways to look at it, but you sort of have too much, but at a certain point, you just have too much negativity. It's not engaging for the audience. You don't bring the audience in. You know, ultimately, sports is about camaraderie, community. You want to go for the ride. There are times certainly criticism is warranted and stuff, but that's my issue with ESPN is it's become too much about what the analysts say, at least during what I saw during the finals outside of the game, and not enough like bringing me in, like wanting me to hang out. And they've been criticized probably about as severely as I have seen them being criticized for a finals presentation as long as I have written about that network.
So, Richard, I was watching the game with my wife for a little bit last night, as I'm sitting there grumbling and grousing and, like, you know, doing that, like, that huffy thing that sports fans are probably doing at home, where I'm like pointing to it and shaking my head and like muttering stuff under my breath about the way it used to be with my 11-year-old son within earshot and everything. And she's going, what's your problem? Like, what's bothering you so much? And here's the example I used, and I actually saw you tweeted about this. Bob Myers, who is a welcome addition to any panel, I think, from his experiences, had a superstar try to play through a calf injury that led to a torn Achilles. What a unique resource to be able to throw to him and talk about what are the trainers, what are the conversations before the game? What does the star think? You know, what sort of precautions are taken? You know, what sort of things are we weighing? And it was never mentioned. And it was, you know, Stephen A. Smith calling out the manhood of Oklahoma City for something or other, you know, and I'm going, that to me is the microcosm of it. Just expound on that if you would.
Yeah, first of all, ESPN, I would have done this for free. They could have thrown it to me because I was at the Raptors-Warriors game when Kevin Durant went down. Mm-hmm. So I would have been happy to weigh in on that as well. Although my experience in running NBA teams, is about the same experience.
It's a slightly second behind Bob Myers, yeah.
Yeah, as in zero. But you're correct. Like, they literally had a guy who could speak. Like, the second most important person in that series went down. Right. And the most important player, the heart of basically the Indiana Pacers, went down. You have a guy on set who lived it. He lived Kevin Durant going down. That entire series ended when Durant went down. You know, Warriors continued to play out against the Raptors, but that was it. And I still believe, as again, someone who lives in Toronto, Kevin Durant doesn't get hurt, the Warriors are beating the Raptors. And as much as I love the Raptors and love the city of Toronto, I think that would have happened. And that would have been fascinating. That would have been like interesting. Like, what, you know, where were you when that happened? I assume in the arena. Like, what do you think about as a general manager or president of basketball operations? Like, when that goes down, like, how does the team react to that? Like, that would have been interesting. So I'm with you. And that's frustrating because, again, I think too much of it is just, it's a POV or a, like an ethos. It's just, and the ethos is we're going to highlight what our personalities have to say. And that's going to be the driving force. I do want to sort of just make a point because it really is important, and it's important to distinguish this. That's not the game coverage. Like, that's not what Doris Burke, Mike Green, and Richard Jefferson do. Mm-hmm. Like, I really think whether you like them or not as a trio, they're focused on the game. Like, that's not about, like, you know, who could get who could say something that, you know, that gets them to Twitter. So it's very much with their NBA coverage, I feel like, a product of their pregame show and halftime. And then lastly, and they also made a larger decision on this, you know, they have gotten rid of some very, very heavy basketball people. You know, Zach Lowe would be probably the biggest example of that. And, you know, like, people aren't dumb. Viewers aren't dumb. Like, you make some of these decisions where, you know, you're trading like very hardcore X's and O's. Maybe someone who's not as, maybe someone's not as television friendly, for the people who can give you takes. But that's the decision they made. It very well may be the smarter business decision, but this is just my belief. I just don't believe it serves fans at the end of the day, particularly in a final setting.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Richard Deitch of The Athletic with us on Grant and Danny. One more on this, and then I want to pivot to what's next for the Inside the NBA crew from Turner. But maybe the days that I long for are just dead and gone. But what I'm looking for in those shows is just so different than the rest of the day, right? Whether it's Stuart Scott or Maliko or whoever else, someone's sitting there teeing people up, and it's grown-ups having conversations where they're not talking over each other. Wilbon, like Bill Simmons, I know you have to be an athlete or a GM now to have an opinion on sports, but, you know, Bill Simmons sitting there is awesome when he was doing it, and it's just so gone that it feels to me like at some point there was a meeting at ESPN where they went, like, I was half surprised Pat McAfee wasn't in Indiana for one of these games in a tank top sitting at the set with his face painted. It was like Stephen A. Smith's Knicks and Pat McAfee's Pacers, and there's a time and place for that in the middle of the day for the personality-driven stuff, but it just all bleeds together now. And like when I need my analysis, I can't get it.
You know, you should be writing columns for The Athletic, basically. I'm going to retire. There's nothing left for me to say. No, you nailed it. I mean, like, I agree with you. Like, I used to be much more hardcore when I was younger about, man, like, the takes industry is just, like, it's destroying everything, et cetera. I feel like, it is what it is. Like, you know, America in 2025, everybody's got an opinion. You hope people's opinion are intellectually sound and you're not, you know, garbage deliverers like Skip Bayless. But, like, opinion is opinion. It's going to exist. But I'm with you. Like, again, it's just, it is so hard to sometimes, or at least I found so hard during the pregame again of this series to find myself like learning stuff. In many ways, I really feel bad for Malika Andrews, who I think is very, very talented. Actually gave a very, very thoughtful game seven note. But like, what can you do? You can only do so much in the, you know, in the pilot seat, basically, because the entire infrastructure exists at this point at ESPN to highlight these very bold opinions by, again, the Smiths and McAfees and Greenbergs, et cetera. So I don't necessarily think it's going to change outside of sort of this one thing. And this is a big thing. For so many years, ESPN could not obviously touch inside the NBA. I know internally executives hated the fact that, you know, their coverage would be crushed where inside was always praised. And at a certain point, just given the economics of the world, Jimmy Pitaro, president of ESPN or chairman now of ESPN, made a great decision, traded some college football game inventory for the right to have that show on next year, particularly during the NBA finals and some high profile postseason games. So in some ways they've solved the problem. They haven't solved it for every regular season game, but for the games that matter most, and for the games that are going to draw the most audience, you're going to have Shaq Kenny and Charles Barkley next year. And if not, whether it lasts a year or three or four, during that run, you're going to see the criticism of ESPN's, you know, pregame and halftime and postgame during the NBA finals essentially not exist because they have they couldn't beat their competition, so they bought it, and that turns out to be a pretty good move.
Richard, you tweeted about this also, I think it was yesterday, and I'm trying to find a way to quantify. You also mentioned this earlier in our conversation just now. I feel like there wasn't enough about the play. Like, everyone's going to complain these aren't two major market teams, so they'll sort of roll their eyes at the ratings, whatever they end up being, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. I don't care. I had a great time watching basketball. But I feel like there wasn't enough drawing in with the players and their stories. Like, it's impossible not to connect SGA's quote-unquote failure at the Olympics, where he was so pissed off and disappointed that Canada lost to France, not to bring up a sore subject, but that was sort of the driving force behind this world tour, this MVP campaign, where he was the best player wire-to-wire, did something that three other guys in history have done, and it's basically Michael Jordan a couple of times. MVP, lead the league in scoring, finals MVP. Like, his revenge tour coming from that, and I feel like I never heard about it for these finals or any of the other remarkable stories about how the Pacers got here, et cetera. Just drawing people in to what could have been a kind of a renaissance sort of new frontier for the NBA with parity and a little bit less, you know, it's LeBron James versus somebody else. This could have been a golden start. It feels like it was squandered a bit.
One of the things that, by the way, it's an excellent point by you. One of the things, I think it might have been Brian Curtis of The Ringer, if it wasn't, whoever it was, and if I don't remember, my apologies. Although the likelihood of them, you know, unless they're from your area listening to this, I'll probably get away with it. But the point was that one of the things that you see on College Game Day and some very other famous signature shows are these like 6-7 minute long features, right, where you really get to know the person. A lot of times when it comes to College Game Day, it's usually like somebody who suffered some tragedy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a college football player maybe whose parents passed away or maybe had to overcome illness or something like that. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would be the perfect example of, okay, let's do a 7-minute feature where we go to this guy's hometown, you know, which is Hamilton, Ontario in Canada, and like just figure out like how on earth could one of the best players in global basketball come from Canada and like come from this like, you know, sort of mid-city sized place. And how was the, you know, the Olympic experience like part of the driving force? Because, you know, I can tell you obviously living here that it was a major disappointment. Canadians thought they were going to medal and, you know, they ended out They ended up losing to France before the medal round. So I'm with you on that. And again, that's the kind of stuff that, like, I think people would appreciate. And remember, again, no one is saying it's got to be, you know, no one's saying it's got to be the PBS NewsHour or Frontline. Mm-hmm. But it also can't be like, you know, who can I blast and rip for sucking, like, all the time? You know, like, there has to be, at least in my opinion, a little bit better media. And then here's the other thing, too. Like, you guys know this. NBA fans, especially the diehard ones, they are very, very into, like, X's and O's and analytics and the draft. Like, they happen to be, like, very smart, educated about their sport. So if you just give them, like, BS hot takes, they're going to think you're a clown show, because, like, they're the type of people who are, like, going really, really deep on, like, okay, like, what's the expected points of this team, you know? Or, like, how is this player, like, you know, like, what kind of player, how is this player, like, within 15 feet versus outside of 15 feet? Like, I'm not saying everybody's a nerd on that, but there's a lot of, like, nerd out kind of NBA fans. And I would say there's a very high percentage of, in many ways, compared to some other sports. And ESPN just doesn't cater to that. But, you know, at least during the finals, at least from my perspective, it was just, like, catering to, like, the lowest common denominator kind of quick take. Like, who sucks at the moment? Why do they suck? Or it's like, hey, I think this, and let's put this up on ESPN.com and blast it out there because this is what I think. I do. If your listeners want one piece of news, and I think this is, competition usually makes you raise your game. And I think ESPN's going to watch Amazon on NBC next year, and they're going to be like, I'm not going to curse on your network, but they're going to be like, holy bleep.
Yeah.
Like, we got to get our act together. It's like, these guys are putting together some really good productions. And so I do think it's going to help raise ESPN's level.
Richard Deitch of The Athletic. I'll squeeze one more in here in our final minute off the beaten path, but I'm a big hockey fan. I watched the Stanley Cup. It was incredible. We had a Hall of Famer in our midst, one of the greats ever, and Connor McDavid, and a back-to-back championship-winning team that might be the most dominant team going into next year in all of the professional sports in Florida. And I premise this to say, nobody watched the Stanley Cup. Like, more people watched what was really fun and entertaining, but when internationally we got all the countries together for the Four Nations during the All-Star festivities, why can't the NHL get people to watch their championship series?
Well, I mean, listen, I love hockey, and especially, you know, having moved to Toronto a couple of years ago, you can't basically escape it here. You know, it's like, as an American, I'm like in the wilderness trying to look for college football on a Saturday, but trust me. Like,
you can't turn on a TV without bumping into hockey.
Yeah, right. Canucks, Hurricanes. It might as well be like a Taylor Swift concert. So you're like inundated basically with hockey everywhere. And so in this country, it was no issue. Like, both series between the Panthers and Oilers did really, really well. My sense on hockey is that I think at the end of the day, it's a great regional sport. Like, it's not a national sport. And outside of a star playing in one of the traditional big U.S. markets that draws television numbers, Chicago, Philly, New York, Boston, I don't know if there's an answer. Like, I think it's a great product. They've really improved in terms of the television part of it too. But I don't know if there's a fix on this, because the play is great. Like, if you watch the NHL postseason, I think it was far and away the best postseason of any of the postseasons.
So good
for the major sport. So it wasn't about the play on the particular field or arena. I just think it's ultimately a regional play. And if I had to guess, this is just like sort of being a little bit of a sociologist, I think there's just too many people in the United States who just don't grow up skating, or just don't grow up in an environment where hockey is like a big part of their lives. Like, if you grow up in, you know, Houston, Texas, right, or Jackson, Mississippi, or something like that, I'm not saying like you've never ice skated or you don't know what it is, but you know what I'm saying? It's not like you walk down the street and you see pickup basketball or you see kids playing football. And I don't know what the solution is on that. Where the other major sports, you know, particularly in this case, baseball and football and basketball, they kind of have that. Like, most kids do grow up sort of seeing it around them. So I don't know what the NHL sixes. I will say that this one in particular, a lot of things were conspired against the NHL. One, it has a Canadian market, so you get no viewership in the United States for that. Two, Florida's not the biggest media market, so you're going to be hurt by that. And three, and this was a big one, games were on cable, keep in mind, right? They were on TNT mm-hmm. and not ABC. So that alone is, you're losing about a million viewers on that, just that little fact alone. It still makes a difference in 2025. So there were things sort of running against this one that were going to hurt the NHL no matter what. But if you're the NHL, I mean, honestly, you know, if you get, let's say, like Rangers, just make this up, Rangers Avalanche next year, it goes back to ABC, you know, you'll see 30% increase for the Stanley Cup final. So their story, the one thing I can tell you, having written about this all the time, they'll have a much, much better viewership story next year, no matter what. You know, unless, you know, knock on wood, unless it's Edmonton, Toronto, and then we sort of have some of the same issues.
Richard, great with us as always, man. Really appreciate the time.
Great. Thanks, guys. Be well.
Thank you. There's Richard Deitch. Outstanding. Check him out in The Athletic. Good insight on sports media coverage and the landscape right now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.